the first verse of chapter 11, writes, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." This morning I want to talk to you about faith in the promises of God. Faith in the promises of God. Faith is the assurance, the confidence of things hoped for but are not yet a reality. Things that are hoped for. The conviction of things not seen. The belief, the firm belief, that even though things don't seem to be going in a certain direction, one's faith trusts that God's promises, even though they can't be seen right now, will be fulfilled in God's time and in God's way. So the key phrase or the key point of today's message on the faith and the promises of God is the first verse of Hebrews 11. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And this is important because all of us want to have a better life, don't we? We want to have a better life. We want to have a better life for our families, especially for our children, for our grandchildren. We want them to have it better than we had it. That's part of the American dream. That they have a good life, a better life. We expect our children to have a better life than we do. That's just the way it's supposed to be, isn't it? And we also believe that if we trust in the Lord, that He's going to give us a better life. When we have faith in Christ, everything's going to work out all right. There's going to be heaven on earth. Because after all, God promised. Jesus said in John 10:10, "I come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." Abundantly. Superior life. Exceeding. Over the top life. Jesus promised that. And if we believe in Him and believe that promise, then everything is going to work out all right. It's going to be good. We're going to have a better life. We hear testimony after testimony of people who were held in bondage to sin, whose lives were miserable. But they heard the gospel one day, and by the grace of God, the work of the Holy Spirit, their eyes were opened, their hard heart melted, and the Lord regenerated their hearts and gave them saving faith, and they trusted in Christ Jesus. And ever since that day that they believed in Jesus, their life has been transformed. It's been better than ever before. And I don't doubt that. We could all share our testimonies how Christ has made our lives better. But we want to be cautioned here, and the preacher in Hebrews 11 does present the reality that heaven is not on this earth and that life may not be better for Christians. He starts off with, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." And then he goes through this point in his sermon talking about faith and giving 16 names, 16 examples from the Old Testament of people who were commended for their faith. And then he goes on to talk about others who remain nameless that were commended for their faith as well. Verse 33, "Who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, Put foreign armies to flight. Amen. This is good news. Faith enables us to have victory over our adversity, over our enemies. That's great. We're victorious. Now remember, he's talking to a congregation that's being persecuted by the Roman government as well as the pagan society. And as he looks out over his congregation, he knows that there are people in that congregation that are saying, yeah, all of this victory is nice, but that's not my life. I don't see the victory. All I have is suffering. The preacher knows this. He sees the attendance dropping as people are caving under the pressure of the oppressive government, making laws that just make it very, very difficult for Christians. Businesses are closing. Jobs are being lost. All kind of garbage is being taught as the truth. People don't know who they are anymore. They can choose to be whatever they want. And people are saying, you know, you just keep on fighting. I didn't sign up for this. I didn't sign up for being a Christian who's going to be persecuted. I didn't sign up to raise my kids and take them to church and have them bullied on the playground because they love Jesus Christ and aren't ashamed to share the gospel, and everybody's against them. They're getting beat up because they want to celebrate Christmas. I didn't sign up for this. What kind of life is this? I thought it was going to be better. See, the preacher understands where his congregation's at. And he addresses this reality that not everybody's going to have a better life in this world as a Christian. In fact, we're not going to experience heaven on earth as much as people expect that, desire it, and strive for it. I want my world to be perfect for my children. I never want them to be sad. I want them to always think of themselves as special. I want no discomfort. I want everything to go so smooth for them that I'll do their homework for them. That I'll talk to their coaches about playing time. That I will go to them for their college interviews. That I'll even go to their employers when they interview for a job to make sure it all works out for them because I want them to have the better life. The preacher says here, some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. The better life? But God, you promised. You said that it was going to be better. I didn't think my life was going to end up like this. I didn't think I was going to lose my home, my friends, my job. I didn't think I'd be wandering aimlessly in the wilderness. That wasn't in my game plan. That was not on my radar screen. And here is where I find myself. God, you promised. The preacher is bold enough to say in verse 39, and all of these, though commended through their faith, That comes all the way back to the first verse, the first section, verse 2. For by it the people of old received their commendation, the acknowledgement from God, the approval, the applause, the recognition, the reward. All of these were commended by God through their faith. They did not receive what was promised. They did not receive what was promised. That is so hard to accept. But God, you made all these promises. There are thousands of promises in the Bible. And I thought every promise is going to be fulfilled in my lifetime. And I can't understand why they're not. God, is it that you don't keep your promises? Lord, is it that you promised things that were just not realistic to happen in this world? Or maybe it's not you, God. Maybe it's me. Maybe I don't have the faith. Maybe the reason why I'm suffering is because I don't have good faith. I don't have a lot of faith. My faith is flawed. That must be the reason. Because my life is not what I wanted it to be. It must be because I don't believe right. The preacher says, wait. And all of these, though commended through their faith, wasn't that they have bad faith? They did not receive what was promised. Why not? Since God had provided something better for us. That apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Interesting how he ends this section on faith. But these concluding verses go right back to the beginning. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. I'm hoping for a better life. The conviction of things not seen. Although I don't see all of God's promises being realized, I do believe that God keeps His promise. I do believe those promises will be fulfilled. And here's the big point. The promises aren't all fulfilled in this life. God does not promise heaven on earth, even though we expect that many times. And this passage here shows us that there is no such thing as heaven on earth, because God has a plan that a lot of times, if not always, involves suffering, involves trials, involves affliction, involves heartache, involves sadness and grief. I mean, when you look at the Faith Hall of Fame here, none of these people were perfect, were they? They're in the Faith Hall of Fame, but all of them had flaws. But they did have faith. And they kept on going, even in spite of their flaws. And they kept on going in spite of great trials, in spite of great affliction. They kept on going because they trusted that God had something better for them. He had something better for them. Verse 13. These all died in faith. Abraham and Sarah, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. Hebrews 11:24-28. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Faith gives you eyes to see the invisible, to be convicted of the things that aren't seen, to have assurance of those things that are hoped for. That's what faith does. Faith doesn't mean you're going to have a free pass on earth to experience all the joys, all the bliss of heaven. Faith means that you have victories, of course, but also faith gives you the ability to endure hardship and difficulty because you trust in the one who has promised that he's going to give you something better. And it may not be in this life, but it certainly is going to be in the next life. And God ensures that because he has sent his son, Jesus Christ, to deal with the problem of sin in this world. That's why there's no heaven on earth here, because it's a fallen world. It's a sinful system. There's all kind of things going on here that are plain evil. And we're affected by those things that are evil. But God gives us his spirit, the guarantee that what he has implanted in us as believers is just a foretaste of what he has planned in the next life. So this is what kept Abraham driving forward. He saw a country out there. Not in this world. He never settled in a promised land. He never saw his offspring be more numerous than the grains of sand on the beaches or the stars in the sky. He never saw that. But he believed that what God said and what God promised would one day, in fact, be a reality. And that's what kept him going. Moses, for years, went through the desert with the Israelites, and he never stepped foot into the promised land when he was on earth. He saw it from afar, but he was not allowed to go in. But God, you promised. I went through all of this and I can't even step into the promised land. But see, he was looking beyond. He was beyond what he could see. Even though they did not receive what was promised, they kept on going. They didn't stop trusting. They didn't quit because they believed God had something better for them than what was in this life. And their eyes of faith helped them to look beyond the present circumstances, their present struggles, believing that God had not broken his promises, but that his promises were yet to be fulfilled. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So this passage, first of all, teaches us that it is not always in God's will for believers to have a better life in this world. It's important for us to understand this because we naturally want a better life. We have goals. We have plans. But sometimes it's not in God's will for those plans to be accomplished because those plans don't fit God's big plan. Sometimes God's plan for our lives is completely opposite from what we thought our lives were going to be. Sometimes we think that trusting in Christ means that we will experience heaven on earth. The scriptures do not teach that. In God's providence, according to his sovereign will, there are those whose lives will appear to be really easy, really blessed, while others are experiencing hell on earth. The life in this fallen world can never be heaven on earth. It can not be always sunshine, happiness, and fun. There's going to be difficulties, and that's all part of God's plan. And faith is the assurance that what He has promised, He is going to fulfill one way or another, but that's up to Him. It appeared when Christ died on the cross that all was lost, that Satan had won, that evil triumphed. Good Friday. People even ask, how can that be called good? Look what happened on Good Friday. Well, if you leave everything at Good Friday, that's one thing. But if you move to God's whole plan of salvation, you see that on Resurrection Sunday, Christ rose from the dead, conquering sin, death, and Satan. It changes the whole perspective on what God's sovereign plan is. And sometimes we go through these periods, sometimes long periods, sometimes our whole lives are filled with one heartache after another, one trial after another, one difficulty after another. And we can't understand why. We can't believe we're ending up like this. But that is not in vain. That is not a life that's lived without purpose and meaning, because God will use that to bring honor and glory to Him, and also to bring others who think that the better life is in this world will come to realize that it's not, and that the faith of those who are going through these trials and tribulations speaks volumes about what God is doing in their lives and what He has promised for them in the future. All of these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. I want to take a couple of minutes on this. Since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. What did He provide that is better for us? What is it that He had planned so that apart from us, they, the Old Testament saints, should not be made perfect? What is God doing here? Well, what God has promised to be better, is a better place for us, a better life for us, and a better resurrection for us. And we see this embedded in this 11th chapter. God will provide a perfect life, but not in this world. God will provide a better resurrection, but not the one that we've seen in the Old or the New Testament regarding people, believers. And God will provide a better home to live in eternally. So what is this something better that God promises? He promises a better resurrection. And we see this tucked into the passage here about how there are those who refuse to accept a release so that they might rise again to a better life. Verse 35. They might rise again to a better life, a better resurrection. Wait a minute. We know that people were raised from the dead in the Old Testament. Elisha and Elijah performed some of those miracles. We know that Jesus raised people from the dead. The Apostle Paul. Remember that time he was preaching all night and a kid fell out of the window on the top floor and died? Paul went down, raised him up. Then he continued to preach another 3 hours. Point is that there's a resurrection in the Old Testament, but there's a better one that's promised in the future. Now, what do you mean? The resurrection in the Old Testament, people were brought back to life, but they died again. But when Jesus rose from the dead, He never died again. And all who have believed in Christ will die, but when they rise from the dead, at the end, it'll be a physical bodily resurrection that will never, ever cease giving them life. And the better resurrection that comes through Christ is that we will not die again. When He raises us from the dead, we will live forever. All right, so there's this better resurrection. It's not temporary. It's eternal. And the resurrection is a better resurrection because it's a glorious resurrection of our bodies. Our bodies are transformed. They are glorified. There are bodies that will never grow old, or bodies that will never be weak, bodies that will never get sick, minds that will never go nuts, souls that will never crack up. A whole new creation comes to those who believe in Jesus, just as He rose from the dead, never to die again. So will all who die in Christ will be raised in Christ, never to die again, experiencing eternal life in a new glorious body, in a new glorious perfect place called heaven. What kept Abraham going? Not because he wanted to just get to that promised land, some dirt in the Middle East. He wanted to get to the country in heaven. He wanted to go to the city whose foundations were designed by God. That's where he was headed. He believed that there was a better place. And we see through the Scriptures that God does promise that. We see this. Jesus teaching this. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going. Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way. I am the truth and I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. God has this better place for those who trust in Him. It's called heaven. It'll never be on earth, not in this life, but after when Christ returns, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, a new city, a new Jerusalem, yes. But right now, there's not this heaven on earth. There's a better place coming in the future where those who believe in Christ will dwell in a new home, in a home that will never, ever be corrupted, in a place of peace, in a place void of all war, of all injustice, of all discrimination, of all bigotry, a place that is completely free of all of that corruption. A place that goes beyond our wildest imaginations. That's what God has promised. And that's what assurance of things that are hoped for means. We're looking to the future. And looking to the future comes back to us today to give us the strength to deal with the heartaches and the difficulties and the apparent defeats that happen in this world. Gives us the courage to keep on going when every day seems to be just an endless day of grief and sorrow and battles, where darkness seems to surround and there's no ray of sunshine. With hope in Christ, sooner or later that sun will break through. And the sun will shine brightly on those believers. And they will go to a better place. They will be in a better place, a perfect place. They will be made perfect to live in a perfect place. That's what keeps these saints going. And that's what the preacher is saying to encourage the hearts of these discouraged Christians who are getting banged around every day. Look beyond the present circumstances. Look to the Lord. Look to the promises. Stand on those promises. Believe in God. Believe in His Word. Don't doubt what He says. And when you're running into faith problems, that's when you call upon Him, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Help me to keep on going, to keep trusting in You when I don't feel like going another step. Lord, when life doesn't seem to make much sense anymore, Lord, give me the life that You've promised. Give me the grace that I need to make it through this day. Set my eyes not on the grave, not on what's going on in the Middle East, not even what's going on in our country. Set my eyes on Jesus Christ. Fix them on the author and perfecter of my faith. The One who will deliver me from this. The One who never, ever breaks a promise. That's what our focus has to be in difficult times. It's not going to be a better life here, but it's going to be a better life in the next world. We're passing out of this life. Remember, Jesus said, today you shall be with me in paradise. There's a better place. To be absent from the body is to be at home or to be present with the Lord. There's a better place. There's a better life. And it's eternal life. That's what we have to keep our eyes focused on. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us and for them, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. And people could say that about us and the future. There are those generations, if the Lord so tarries, that will struggle. And they will run into what we're running into, as those who have gone on before us have run into. But the key is to believe that in the end, God will save every one of those He has chosen to save. And He's not going to do it for this group and then for that group and then for this person and that person. When it all comes together on that last day, that's when perfection will occur. That's when there will be heaven on earth. So we've heard the preacher talk about faith. So what difference does it make in my life right now that I heard this sermon? Okay, all that's, but what difference does it make? Well, if you truly believe in the Lord, He will give you the confidence and the assurance to look beyond your present circumstances to the future. He will convict you of the things not seen, but give you great hope. He will keep you from being discouraged. He will strengthen your soul. Faith enables us to endure harsh realities of a sinful world with its sinful systems. So what difference does it make? It makes all the difference in the world when you trust in the Lord. Because He gives you a glimpse, He gives you a foretaste in this life of what the next life is going to be. Spiritually, you find a peace that passes all understanding. You find an unspeakable joy that enables you to even rejoice through your tears. He gives you understanding and wisdom to be able to understand some of the mysteries of life. He gives those things to us. He graces us day in and day out with our daily bread, with a relationship with Himself, that when we're in His presence, we find great, great peace with Him. That's ours for right now. He gives us strength for the day. So that's the difference as it makes in trusting in the Lord. Okay, so there is a difference if I trust in Him. Now, what do I do with this? You know, my life is not the better life right now. So how do I wrap this all up? How do I put this all together here? Well, the question you have to ask yourself is, do I believe that God is faithful to His promises? Do I really believe that? Not only when the sun is shining, but when the storms are blowing. Do I really believe that He is with me and will never leave me nor forsake me? When I fall into sin, do I really believe that Christ's death on the cross and resurrection is sufficient to cleanse me of all my unrighteousness? Do I really believe that? Do I believe that I'm saved? And if not, even right now, this moment, Lord, You've convicted me that although I know some things about You and I have some faith in this, that when the trials come, I fall apart. Lord, I need to change. There needs to be a change in my life. Lord, I don't know what all has to happen, but I want You to live in me. I want the faith to trust in You, to never doubt Your promises, to never say, but God, You promised, but instead, Lord, I know You're true to Your promises. What do I have to do? Now what do I do? Come to Him in a prayer of faith. Come asking Him, Lord, do a work in my heart right now and give me the faith and the assurance and the confidence to trust in You, to trust in the person and work of Jesus Christ, to trust in the promises as revealed in Scripture, to trust that You have a better life for me in the future, and that life is now coming to me in this world. Although it's not heaven on earth, it gives me the ability to keep on moving on, to go forward by faith. That's between you and God. Nobody can talk you into trusting. That's a work of the Holy Spirit. But perhaps today is the day that the Holy Spirit is working in your heart right now, saying, you're trusting in the wrong things. You're hoping in the wrong things. Trust in me. I'll take care of all your sins. I've already done that on the cross. All your promises will become a reality to you in this world and in the next. I will be with you in this world, but there's something better for you. Right now, right here, receive Christ by faith. Please join me in prayer.